Well, I'm sitting here with AJ, and I'm going to let him tell you what AJ stands for. I know what it is, but I'm afraid if I say it, it won't come out the exact way you would like to have it. But this is a really fine man, a worship leader, and I'm thankful he's on our team. And so tell us a little bit about AJ.
Yeah, so my name is Ansel Jeffries, but everyone calls me AJ. I am a worship graduate resident here at the church, and I've been here for about a year and a half now.
So where are you primarily serving? Because I think I've seen you on all the various stages. So you seem to be rotating around?
Yeah, I don't think there is a primary. I think like my whole job is to rotate and to serve wherever I'm needed. And so that could be, you know, our Mayfair campus, our OKC venue campus, the sanctuary, whenever they need me, Edmond, community center, literally any venue that has worship is where you could possibly see me.
So. That's great. And I it takes a lot of skills and talent to adapt to each one of those rooms. Because, you know, it's interesting. Every room we have is different.
Very much. Yeah.
And I think when we started out with locations idea, we thought they'd all be the same. Yeah. And, so much for that, because now they're all pretty much very different. Where did you start?
So I'd say primarily when I first came on, I was at Edmond and the venue. And so those were kind of my frameworks and got to learn under great guys like Josh Eddington and Jason White, and I got to learn how to do it at the capacity that they do it. And then I got to incorporate my own style into it, which allowed me to easily go from place to place, like Mayfair, like the community center, just to be able to remain authentic to myself. Because I think what matters most in worship is authenticity.
I agree.
And so there was no longer like I'm trying to be like those guys, but I can just walk into a room and just be AJ, and that's enough.
And I'm thankful for that. I mean, that to me, you're self-aware, but you're also humble, and it's one thing I appreciate about our worship, all of our folks in worship, in the worship teams, extremely talented.
Yeah.
I mean, scary talented musicians, yeah. And you are one of those.
Thank you.
But also matched with extreme humility.
Yeah.
And it's obvious when I watch you lead that you really don't want them to see you as much as you want them to see the one we're singing about.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that about you. I've watched you in various situations, you know, where you've led, and it's so, so good. So where did you first get this? Where did the music come from? Where did that start?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
And Grand Rapids?
Yeah, up north.
You know that? Yeah.
My stepdad, wonderful man, name's Joseph Edwards, he was a worship leader for our small, tiny Church of Christ up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I remember just from a young age, just being like, I want to do what he does, you know? And I can't say I was any good back then.
Well, it came from somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I was a soprano up until basically eighth grade, you know? And so, but I really enjoyed it. And then, you know, from there, no matter what I did, like music was always a part of my life. And so I went all throughout high school, middle school, elementary school, just helping lead worship wherever I could, because in the church I was at, I mean, there was only the preacher, his sons, my dad, and me. And so, like, we were really holding it down. And I just kind of got a love for music and for worship. But at a time, it felt kind of like work, you know? And this was at a time where I'm a kid. So, you know, ministry and vocational ministry was not in my line of thinking. And so when it became work, I wanted to get away from it. And so, but the Lord just kept pulling me back. I mean, I went to college and ended up in an a cappella worship group called New Rain. And I mean, I was leading worship at our chapels and just various places where I just continued to find that love for worship. And eventually that led me here. And for some strange reason, y'all gave me a job, and so here I am.
I know why we gave you a job, because you're really good, and you're very talented, and but also very humble, and you've got a wonderful spirit. So you were in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then went to school up in Michigan, right?
Went to school in Kenosha, Wisconsin first.
Oh, well, you went further north, and it was colder.
Yeah.
So Michigan wasn't cold enough for you?
Yeah. Listen, I ran as far away from the cold as I could just coming down here. So,
how did you find out what caused you to even consider Oklahoma City?
Yeah, so big part of my faith journey. I was at school in Wisconsin my freshman year, and again, this had come right after this kind of feeling of being overwhelmed with how much of a job being at church was and not being paid. And that was just my own personal feelings. And I just made the wrong conscious decision that, like, I'm going to step away and I'm just going to do my own thing. And so from my freshman year of college, I was just, I would say, in no man's land. And, man, like, the conviction and everything that came my way from just living a lifestyle far from God was just overwhelming. And so at the end of my freshman year, I decided, I don't know what it looks like, but I can't stay here because I'm not becoming the man that I know I should be. I'm not becoming the man that I know God would want me to be. And so I was ready to go to community college. And through a crazy series of events that I can only call God, where a family friend, it was the dean of students at Oklahoma Christian University, and he heard that I was trying to move schools, and he was just like, well, at least try it out. And this was about a month before school started. He was like, hey, think about it. We have a track team. You know, you could possibly get on the track team if you come down here. And two things crossed through my mind. You know, it's not where I was, and it's warmer than Michigan. And so I'm going. And without, I think, stepping on campus ever, or stepping in Oklahoma, I just was like, leap of faith, I'll go. And it's been the best decision I've ever made in my life.
That's incredible. You know, you take this leap of faith and having never been here. What I find fascinating about the connection to Oklahoma Christian, Kim is a runner, and she runs most mornings of the week. And oftentimes it's on the Eagle Trail at Oklahoma Christian University. And then on those occasions when she's willing to walk, I'll go with her and walk. I can't run or I die. You know, I would die. And so we'll go up there and walk occasionally. And they're just great people. Yeah. And the school, we live pretty much a half a mile from the school. And they've got the bell tower. We hear the bells, you know, from where we live. And I just really have come to love what those folks do out there. And they do it really well. So to have you land in Oklahoma from Wisconsin and Oklahoma City at Oklahoma Christian. You know, I look at all those, I guess, the dominoes that would have fallen to make this possible. And I'm out there walking around campus occasionally. Kim's running. And sitting in one of those rooms in that campus was AJ.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about it yet. And so that's a neat great story for us. It's a confirmation that obviously God's doing some great things on the campus of the school. So you get to OC here in Oklahoma City, and what begins to drive your future? What are you starting to think and study and want to do?
Yeah, so I got to OC, and initially I was like, I don't know what I want to do, but I know I like people and I know I like sports. And I said, I don't have the skills to be a doctor or a sports medicine person, but I can talk and I can write. So sports journalism was my first thought. And so I did that for a year, and I realized, not for me. And so I thought, well, there's this study that is essentially the study of people. That's marketing. So I said, you know what, let me just go into marketing. And so I'm doing marketing, and I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do. And I meet this person that came to one of my marketing classes, and she changed my life. She was talking to our class about her sales job, and she was just essentially telling everybody how she went from this student athlete who had no idea what she wanted to do, got out of college, and was successful. And I was like, I don't know anything else about her, but I know that's what I want to do. And so I come up to her after class, and I'm like, hey, I don't know if you have any time, but I'd love to just have a conversation with you. I'm trying to figure out what path I'm on, and it seems like you were in the same shoes I was in, so I'd love to just see if I can, you know, learn something from you. And she said, well, normally I don't meet with people, but if you turn around, the class is empty. And so you were the only one that was brave enough to come up and talk to me. And so, like, I'm going to, you know, take some time for you. And so, man, she really took time for me, gave me a list of names of people that were like, hey, they all do something that I think you would be interested in. Go meet them. And so for about 2 weeks straight, every morning at like 7 a.m., I was getting coffee with somebody. But I was just committed. I was like, I don't know what it is about her, but she's successful and I want to be successful, so I'm going to try it out. And eventually that led to me meeting the CEO of the first job I was at before Crossings, which was a financial advising firm. And again, another person that came into my life, like, it can only be God who put this person in my life, because he ended up, you know, showing me how to grow, not only as a man, but as a Christian. You know, he's a Christian who just loves to pour into people. And his entire mantra is, how can I pour into people? And so I learned from him how to strengthen my faith, how to pour into people, but also how to do good work and like do efficient work. And so in that time, I was leading worship at Oklahoma Christian. I was doing fun stuff, and I was just kind of like tuning back into what God wanted from me. So when I graduated and started finance, I found Crossings. And I told myself the first 3 months here, I was like, I'm not going to do it. Like, I come from a Church of Christ. I've never even seen a guitar on stage. I don't know what's going on. But
we're
eventually,
just a bunch of heathens over here, you know.
I wouldn't say that. I became one then. You know, I was just a little overwhelmed, and I was like, I'm going to take it slow. You know, I think God has me in a really good place, and I'm just going to continue to get poured into. And man, those nudges that always brought me back to worship, it was as strong as it's ever been. And so I thought, okay, I'll volunteer once a month, you know. And it's funny, you tell God your plans, he'll laugh at you. Because that turned into me being here, you know, almost every Sunday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, just as much as possible. And so I think it was needed for me to go to Castle Point, grow in independence, but also like do something else so that I could feel the tug on my heart from God of where I think I really needed to be.
Yeah.
And so all that led to me being here with you.
I'm so glad that's where that led. We're so thankful for you and thankful for the way you lead. So now you're serving in a church and in a ministry and a worship ministry, and you probably didn't, as you've said, plan to do that.
Not at all.
So what's been the biggest surprise that you've sensed God's call, but now you said yes. So then what's been the biggest surprise for you?
That's a great question. I think the biggest surprise so far has been, honestly, how much I enjoy it. You know, I was nervous at first that, like, you know, could this just be something that I wanted to do, or that I, you know, felt the random urge to just switch jobs, you know, and like it wasn't really what I intended to do for the rest of my life. But the more I sit in it, the more every day passes that I'm doing it, I realize like this is where God wants me to be, you know, and this is the assignment he's called me to. And I think it's allowed me to understand how much I love ministry in general. I'm at the point now where, you know, if tomorrow my vocal cords stop working and I can't sing a single note, like there is still work in ministry that I would feel happy to do and I would feel energized to do. And just being able to just see how God moves through what we get to do on a daily basis all around the church, that's been the biggest surprise. I didn't think I would love every aspect of it as much as I do.
Well, I think that's what makes knowing that helps me understand more about your journey a little bit, and that is you're going to serve God, and you haven't told him where it's going to be. Yeah. You've let him tell you where it's going to be.
Yeah.
And so now you're serving in significant ways in this place. And so what do you think when you think out 5, 10 years?
Yeah.
Of course, I know you've clearly said you listen to his voice, and it may take you here and then there.
Yeah.
So with what you're experiencing now with Crossings, what would you say if you could look out 5 to 10 years, what is possible?
5 to 10 years from now, doesn't matter where I'm at. I mean, you know, whether it's Crossings or it's, you know, the armpit of Timbuktu, I think I just know I want to be a loving man who loves others, serves the Lord, and treats everyone as Christ would treat them, you know. And I know that that's kind of vague, but like,
I think it's pretty clear. I think that's pretty stellar.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I don't, you know, like I can't determine where I'll be or what I'll be doing, you know. Just as you said, like if God tells me like, hey, the assignment has changed, then like, you know, I know that my calling hasn't, that my calling of following him, of leading others to him, you know, will still remain. And I just know, like, as long as I have, you know, my fiance, soon to be wife, and the Lord, that I'll be good. I'll be happy.
Yeah. So who would be some of your major influences in the music world?
Yeah. It's funny that you asked that. It's a really good question, because there were two people that I learned about before I started to work here that really gave me the confidence to even want to lead worship and know that, like, hey, there's a person that sounds like me that is able to move people in a way where it doesn't sound like every stereotypical worship leader. And so and that's not to say anything bad about that, but there's a guy named Chandler Moore. He is a part of Maverick City Music, and just His voice has a little more rasp in it. There's, you know, a little more low end to it. And I thought nobody would want to hear a raspy low voice, you know. And just the way he moves people in worship, made me think like, okay, I can do that. You know, like it's not off the table for me. And then Brandon Lake, he's just insane. And so I would say a lot of his music and a lot of the way he leads and, you know, what he's able to do vocally and all that are stuff that I look to and I go, man, that's awesome. And like, that's appreciated in a worship setting. That's what I grew up with. And so to know that it's both appreciated and available and like people are wanting it, you know, it really inspired me to consider ministry.
So you've been kind of anchored in the music world, yeah. The worship leading yeah. world. And so you seem to be really enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
And of course you're really good at it.
Thank you.
So do you see a future in that?
Yeah. 100% I do. I see a future in worship leading as long as God has me there. I'm excited to try out other things. You know, a cool part of the residency is being able to like dip your hand in other ministries. And so, you know, growing up, I did pageants and stuff. Weird little fact, but that's allowed me to realize that I'm okay with speaking and with teaching. And, you know, I've had a couple opportunities to do that and really enjoy it. And so while right now, worship ministry is where I feel called to and where I feel like God has placed me. You know, I'm excited and comfortable knowing that, you know, if God needs me to do something else, if God needs me to mop the floors, you know, as long as I'm doing it for him, I'll be all right.
Yeah. Except I'd hate to see you mop floors when you've got the kind of talent you've got to lead worship. But I love your humility that whatever you got to do, you'll do. You know, I appreciate that. So tell me about this lady that has yeah. stolen your heart.
Yes.
And that you're going to marry.
Yes. Her name is Brittany Bedford. She is the love of my life. I am so blessed to have met her. Again, through that whole story of me coming down to Oklahoma Christian, she was one of the people that God put in my path at OC. And we actually didn't like connect and start dating until after college. And so it was about a year or so after college that we met. And man, I don't know much about love or, you know, anything. I'm still learning, you know, but I know that this is a woman that treats me right and that brings me closer to God and that she helps me see the love of Jesus every day. And so that's kind of where that confidence comes from of, you know, I'll be okay wherever I'm at because I know I have someone that will be pushing me to Jesus every single day. And I'm just excited for the day.
Yeah. I think it's going to be incredible what God might have in mind for you all and that you'll get to experience it together. Yeah. So you are part of our grad resident,
yes.
for what we typically refer to it. And it was a ministry that we felt led to start several years ago because there's a lot of wonderful young talent out there. You're clearly an example of that. And to in one way, provide experience and learning and leading whatever you're wanting yeah. to lead yeah. you know, in a church. Or whether you're on a church staff or a part of a church that has you leading. And you'll lead either way. Yeah. I can tell that, that you'll be leading one way or the other. But I'm thankful that you found out about the grad resident program. And so why don't you let folks know, what is that? What do you do? What's involved? What did you think it would be versus what it has become?
That's good.
A lot of questions.
Yeah. So the graduate resident program is a 2-year program in which you get to walk through either one specific avenue of ministry, or for some people, you walk through a wide array. But essentially, you just learn and are equipped how to do ministry. And so for me, that is under the worship program. And so I get to learn from great guys like our worship pastors, Cole Grubbs, you know, your son, Josh Eddington, Jason White, Carly Grubbs. Like, I get to learn directly from them and learn how it is they do ministry so I can find a way to do it myself and find my own version of that. But also, it allows us to walk through a cohort program where we get to be credentialed and just, again, learn how to deepen our theology, how to answer difficult questions, how to walk through ministry. And one of the cool aspects about it is that we get to dip our hands into different ministries if we choose to do so. And so we get to learn how to, you know, speak if we're in worship, or we get to learn how to be with our connections group and how to connect with people, go on hospital visits. We get to do a bunch of different things that allow us to grow holistically so that at the end of it, we are equipped to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus to any other church that may need us. So
I remember when we were reviewing the worship plans for the weekend, it's been a while back, that I saw AJ on there, and I thought, okay, who's AJ? and you were leading, I forget where it was you were going to be leading that Sunday, but I said, tell me about AJ. And I started getting, they all had something to tell me about you. They're raving about you, you know, and that's when I said, I need to meet this guy. And of course, then I ultimately was sitting in a room where you were leading worship, and I thought, if I don't know anything else about this guy, that I know for sure God's using him to do significant things as a worship leader. But clearly you do have interests and abilities beyond any particular role. I think you're holding it loosely, it feels like, to say, okay, God, where you want me is where I'll be, which I really admire that. So I'm thankful that you are part of the program. How did you find out about the grad resident program?
I was kind of leading worship a lot around here, and Jason White just was—he extended the offer. He said, I see something in you. You don't have to do anything with it. And, God just nudged my heart to go through with it and to apply, and I applied, and you guys said yes. And so, I'm about a year and a half in, and it's been the greatest experience of my life.
It's great. So you grew up in a smaller church in Michigan.
Yes, sir.
And now you find yourself in a church that was once small, and it got out of hand. You know, we didn't decide one day, let's go see if we can be a big church, you know. I grew up in churches that were smaller than this one. Yeah. They were still 500 people or 2,000 people in the two different settings where I was growing up. But how has your thinking about the mega church? I don't like that phrase.
Yeah.
I suppose by definition, we are one of those. What preconceived thoughts did you have about a large church that you have found to be, on one hand, not what you thought it would be in a positive way, or perhaps even something greater than you thought it would be in a positive way? When you first walked into this situation and sitting now where you're sitting, what have you seen?
I really do feel like what makes a large church have that mega church feel or not is, one, the vision of the people that are running the church, the humility of them, and two, the ability for them to make it feel like home. And one thing I've noticed about Crossings is, and it might just be because I've been here long enough to where it doesn't feel big anymore, but, you know, I feel such a connection to the people of this church, and the way people are intentional with getting to know you, with getting to meet with you, with getting to, you know, pray over you, like all of these things make it feel that much smaller. Because I was expecting just to be a number. I was expecting to come in and check in and then leave and nobody ever reach out. And that's just not the case at all. I mean, people want to make sure that you feel seen, because it's not our fault that God has decided to bless us with resources and everything. It's just about how we steward it. And like, that's the one thing I've loved about this church is our decisions to steward everything for the betterment of our people and for the community around us. I mean, I just wasn't expecting it. I was expecting never to have a small church feel in a church this big. But the way people, when they see that you're new, almost like vultures, like attack you, like, hey, how you doing? Who are you? You know, is just something that makes this church feel like home. Yeah.
Boy, I'm glad it feels like home to you. I'm so thankful that God tapped you on the shoulder to lead worship, and then to be open to coming to Oklahoma City and going to Oklahoma Christian, and then finding Crossings. Yeah. And so we feel very blessed that you're part of this, and your leadership. Again, you're very gifted and talented, but also humble. And I've watched that unfold in our church in so many different ways that we see things happen, I believe, in the lives of our worship leaders as well as in the lives of those in church who are benefiting and being blessed by worship leadership. You do have that tremendous magnetic way, and yet you effectively make sure it's pointing to Jesus and not you. I've really enjoyed watching you do what you do with the attitude in which you do it, and certainly the humility. So thanks for taking the leap of faith and when a door opened at Crossings, you were willing to walk through it because you are certainly blessing this church.
Thank you
so
much.
And I thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you all for taking me. Man, God has moved in such amazing ways, and I can't wait to see what he does next.
It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, it is.